Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for October 6th, 2024 is based on Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 16. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagonfield, and the sermon title is Created for Companionship. Our second reading, introduction to Mark chapter 10. Jesus announced and enacted in history the new reality of God's surprising activity. These two stories demonstrate this new reality. Women and children are accepted and valued, not dismissed as inferior to adult men. A reading from Mark. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. For truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, creator of heaven and earth. Amen. Today's reading flashes me back to a recent warm and sunny day in Columbiana, Ohio. It was about 2 weeks ago yesterday that I had the privilege of officiating a wedding for two young adults, one whom I had met when they were just a little toddler, and I was a college-age counselor at Camp Luther, a Lutheran summer family camp on the shores of Lake Erie. Colton, the guy who I knew when he was just a little toddler, and Taylor had been dating since high school. And after 9 years of being together and supporting one another through graduate school, they decided it was time for them to get married. And so after meeting together with the couple a couple of times over Zoom, we drafted a service that spoke to who they were, their love for God, their love for each other, and their love for family and friends. And despite losing the perpetual battle of trying to light a unity candle in an outdoor service, everything in the service seemed to go off without a hitch. The bride and groom were beaming with joy, the vows had been given, the rings had been exchanged, and they were just about to seal their promises with a kiss. At that point, I go to read the acclamation, which actually quotes verse 9 from our reading today. "Those whom God has joined together, let no one separate." And I say the following: Taylor and Colton, by their promises before God and in the presence of this assembly, have joined themselves together as one another, as husband and wife. Those whom God has joined together, let no one celebrate. Yeah, let no one celebrate. Well, after a couple of confused looks and head tilts from the audience and the bridal party members, I realized what I had said. I stammered a bit, but in true improv fashion, I rolled with a mistake, made a joke, people laughed, I corrected the words, let no one separate, and we moved on. A couple of flubbed words or a unity candle that wouldn't light was not going to dampen the love between Taylor and Colton that we came together that day to separate. I mean, celebrate. See, I wanted to start this sermon with a little bit of marriage humor because the context and content of our passage from Mark is some pretty heavy stuff. There are people who would want to use this text to convince people that they need to stay in abusive or harmful relationships. Please hear me when I say that if you are in an abusive or harmful relationship, God does not want that for you. And I encourage you to reach out to someone for help. You can always feel free to contact me via phone or even a discreet note that you pass to me, and I will put you in touch with people who can help. This passage is not telling people that they need to stay in harmful relationships. Rather, I would argue this passage is about how God has created us and encourages us to be in cooperative mutual relationships, either with spouses or even within our own communities. Let's look first at our reading from Genesis chapter 2, where we get a second creation account. In this creation account, God first creates man out of the mud of the earth. And after creating man, God then creates trees and plants, a place for man to live and food to eat. God then says, it's not good for man to be alone. So God creates every animal of the field, every bird of the air, so that man can find a companion. But after meeting and naming all the animals of the world, none are found to be a suitable companion. So out of the same material that man is made of, woman is created. It is then when man realizes that a person made of the same flesh, the same bone, the same DNA was the one that was suitable to be a companion for him. In the text, it says that man is looking for a helper as his partner. This is not someone who would be a subservient servant or someone who has to do the chores the man doesn't want to do. This would be someone who is co-equal to him and who will be right alongside him in sharing the work. We see in this second creation account that God intends for us to be in relationship with one another. We're not created to be isolated or alone. There's a part of us that is made whole when we are in mutual relationship with someone else. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times when we want to or need to be alone. If you're an introverted person like me, there are definitely times when we need to step away from all of the peopling that we do in order to recharge our batteries. And just being around people is different than being in an intentional relationship with people. It's easy just to show up somewhere like church, put your head down, do what you need to do, not speak much to the people around you, and then head off to live life. But where things get a little messier, and I would argue a little more fulfilling, is when we find and build those intentional relationships with those around us. We may not always agree on worship style or politics or any number of issues. But when we see each other as co-equal children of God, working alongside one another towards the same goal of sharing the love of Christ with the world, we become fulfilled in a way that we cannot achieve on our own. Along with the countless blessings that can come from being in a relationship with one another, can also come heartache and heartbreak. When any of our relationships, whether it be a spouse or family or friends, is no longer viewed by one or both parties as a co-equal relationship, meant to support one another and help one another, then things begin to break down. And when our trust is broken, we feel let down. We might feel alone, isolated, angry, sad, confused, or a combination of all of those things. This is the context for Jesus' conversation about marriage and divorce. The Pharisees come to test Jesus by asking him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Jesus replies, what did Moses command you? And they say, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. And Jesus said, it was because of your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law for you. Note that we are not talking about a situation where a man and a woman or two spouses both agree that they need to go their separate ways. We're talking about a situation where one person decides on behalf of both to write a certificate of divorce and sends the other away. There's nothing co-equal about that situation. And why does Jesus then call that hard-hearted? Well, there are examples where people of that time would write certificates of divorce because their wife made a bad meal, or they found someone else who was maybe a little richer than the person they were already married to. In fact, even a famous Jewish historian named Josephus remarks rather casually and without apology at one point in his autobiography that at this point, I divorced my wife, being displeased at her behavior. Again, I want to reiterate, I don't think Jesus is saying that people should stay in abusive or harmful relationships, but I do think Jesus was saying that sometimes we might be a little too quick to write others off, to separate ourselves from someone, to marginalize someone, label them, harm them, all in order to put ourselves in a more advantageous position, instead of seeing them as beloved, co-equal children of God and working to either repair or create a meaningful relationship with that person. I would be remiss if I did not unequivocally and clearly state again that if you are in an abusive or harmful relationship, God does not want that for you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. God does not want that for you, and I encourage you to reach out to someone for help. But relationships are hard. Not just spouses, but family, friends. Relationships are hard. I realize that. God realizes that. God provided 7 of the 10 commandments as ways to help us live in good relationship with one another. Check out commandments 4-10. It's all about how we are to be in relationship with one another. But there's good news in all of this. Even when we might fall short in being in good relationship with God or one another, it's God's love that never falls short for us. God is continually moving toward us, reaching out with love and forgiveness and grace, because God wants to be in a relationship with you. And one of the ways we live out that relationship is how we treat our neighbor, by helping the least of these, by loving our enemy, by showing others the same love, forgiveness, and grace that God first shows us, no matter how difficult it may be. Our God is a God of magnificent relationships, a God that cares so much for us that God came to be with us in Jesus, to live among us and model God's love toward us. A God that cares so much for us that God took the worst that humanity could offer in the unjustified execution of Jesus and then defeated death to show us the lengths God will go to be in relationship. And that God, who in Jesus showed us that God loves even the outcast or marginalized, each person, no matter their status in society, is the same God that loves each and every one of you. We will fall short in our relationships with one another, but there's grace and forgiveness for that. And we can always trust that God will always seek to be in loving relationship with each and every one of us. God is working at joining us together with one another and with God. And that joining together is something that we can separate. I mean celebrate. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.